There was a fellow driving down the road when he noticed the car in front of him hit a rabbit. And the guy, being a caring guy, stopped his car and got out to see if he could help the rabbit. But when he got there, alas, the rabbit was dead. As he sat on the curb holding a rabbit, a woman pulled up, got out of her car, and asked what had happened. And the guy told her the situation, and she said, "Well, just a minute, I think I can help." So she went to her car and got a can, sprayed it on the rabbit, and the rabbit jumped up and waved its paw at the couple and started hopping down the street. And the rabbit did that, but every 10 feet it stopped and waved back at the couple and kept doing that and all the way down the street until it went over the horizon. And the guy was really kind of astounded. He said to the woman, "What was in that can?" And she gave it to him. And the label read, "Hairspray. Restores life to dead hair and adds a permanent wave." Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Many of us have heard these words again recently. Happiness and the pursuit of it is an endeavor, I would guess, for most people worldwide. This sense of happiness happens in our head, in our brain, when certain chemicals come together to give us this feeling that we are happy. Many people try to find happiness through pursuing material possessions, a high income, a significant title, belonging to an exclusive club. These people are on the first mountain, as discussed by David Brooks in his recent book I mentioned a few weeks ago. Most of these people find, however, that these things do not provide a lasting, enduring sense of happiness. Well, folks, you will be glad you came to church today, because I have the answer for you as to how to pursue and find enduring happiness. It is found in the readings for today. The first thing we must do is move out of our heads and move deeper into our very being, our heart and our soul. The priest and the Levite knew the law, however they passed by. The scholar questioning Jesus knew the law, and Jesus told him, "You must move from the law in your head to your heart and be merciful." The American rabbi, Kam Potek, at one time was telling one of his friends about this brilliant son he had who had a mind like a jewel. He could read a story and instantly retell the story from memory. However, he told his friend, "I cried to the master of the universe. What have you done to me? A mind like this I need for a son? A heart I need for a son? A soul I need for a son? Compassion I want from my son. Righteousness and mercy I want from my son. Not a mind without a soul." Rachel Remen, in her book, My Grandfather's Blessings, relates how her grandfather taught her that there are three ways that people approach life: helping, fixing, and serving. When you help people, you see life as weak. When you fix, you see life as broken. When you serve, you see life as a whole. Fixing and helping may be the work of the ego, but serving is the work of the soul. When we serve, we see the wholeness of each other and the wholeness of life. The Samaritan recognizes that his wholeness is connected to the man who is lying in the gutter. He does not see this man as weak, broken, a problem, or an inconvenience. He sees the man as his brother, a fellow human being in need. Our pursuit of happiness, my friends, begins when we realize our connection and wholeness to all those in need, from the immigrants at the border, to the children in Yemen, to the protesters in Hong Kong, to the homeless in our community, to the unwed mother-to-be, to our Somali neighbors, to anyone in need. And then we make the decision to help them as best we can, to show compassion and mercy, to give of ourselves unconditionally. That is where we will find happiness. The gospel invites us to place our giving of self to meet the needs of others in the larger context of love. Love is made concrete in our care for others. This is more than just preaching a social gospel. It is saying there is a binding between caring and loving. Doing for others is more than a nice act. It is a way of living the values of the gospel that we are called to. We are invited to see and respond to the hurt and bleeding person lying beside the road of our daily life. Sometimes we pass by these people because we are too busy, too intent on where we're going, too afraid to get involved. The law of love challenges us constantly to reevaluate our priorities and discern where we need to grow in this unconditional gift of self. In his book, Toward a True Kinship of Faiths, the Dalai Lama states, "It is my fundamental conviction that compassion, the natural capacity of the heart, from the human heart to feel concern for and connection with another being, constitutes a basic aspect of our nature, as well as being the foundation of our happiness." There's a Baptist church by my house that has a sign on their property that each week they put a different thought to consider for the week. Recently, they had a saying that read, "Isn't it interesting that those who need love the most are those who seem to deserve it the least? Isn't it interesting that those who need love the most are those who seem to deserve it the least?" Maybe this week you could bring some love to someone you think might deserve it the least. And I bet if you do, you will find true happiness.